Well, good morning. Thank you for each one for making the effort to come out this morning. I know there's lots of visitors with us from different countries, maybe different areas in the Maritimes, maybe Ontario. Maybe you're visiting here for the first time. We thank you that you've chosen to come here this morning. We're going to read in a moment in Genesis chapter 19. We're going to read the first 26 verses, but before we do that, I guess before we do anything, I'm just going to ask for God's help. Father, this morning we come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this country in which we live in, where we can openly open this book, your Bible, the Word of God, and Father, we can present truth from it. We just pray for help this morning. We pray for each individual that is in this auditorium. We just pray that they would leave here having understood the truth of the gospel. And Father, we leave the work of salvation to you, and we thank thee for this opportunity to share from your word this morning. We pray for help, and we pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I said, we're going to read in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 through 26. But before we do that, I want to just tell you my approach this morning. I want to tell you what I'm thinking and how I want to present this. It's a story. It's actually a pretty sad story. It's about a woman who disobeyed. Before we read that, I want to preach this morning, by God's help, as if at 12 o'clock, the earth, it's over. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back. That's my intention. Because 2 weeks ago, Wednesday, I heard some striking news. A gentleman that I'm not overly familiar with, I know him, he's a general contractor, lives on my road. My understanding was he went to work that morning, wasn't feeling well, and he left work early, pulled over to the side of the road, and he was gone. He's my age. He's 51. The point I'm making is not about where that man is, because I do not know that. I don't know him well enough to say where he is. But what struck me was, I'm sure when he left the house that morning, that's not what he thought was going to happen. Life is brief. Life is fragile. And so, at 12 o'clock today, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return to planet Earth to take those whom he knows, who have a relationship with him, if he were to come at 12, how would I preach? Would I be casual about the truth that you need him as your Savior? Would I recommend him possibly? There's no time to build a bridge with you. There's no time to develop a relationship and to develop a friendship. The truth is, his return can come at any hour. It says only the Father knows when he will return. None of us know. Are you ready to meet him? That's my intention. I plan not to shout. Forgive me if I do. But the truth is, if you are not ready to meet him, there is great judgment coming to you. That's what we're going to speak about this morning, a warning. Let's read together. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, we're going to read the first 26 verses. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, And Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore unto the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides sons-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto them, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither, or come out of that place. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew up upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. One more reading in the New Testament. New Testament, Luke chapter 17. You don't have to necessarily turn there. You can listen as I read. Luke chapter 17, we're going to read four verses there. The Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples about his coming again. And we'll read in at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. That's the verse we're going to speak on this morning. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Well, we know very little about this woman. If we were to go back, we understand that Lot was a brother-in-law to Abraham. And Abraham was the father of the children of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And so Abraham was an upright man, and so was Lot, although Lot and him parted ways. And they were to go out into the land of Canaan, and eventually they both became very prosperous. And they divided ways, and Lot chose to put his tent towards that city of Sodom. And maybe you're not familiar with the story, but Sodom was a very corrupt place. In Ezekiel, I'll just read a verse in Ezekiel. You don't have to turn there. It says, speaking of Sodom, behold, this was the iniquity of the sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. So here's my simple outline. And I'm going to repeat that verse many times in the next 25 to 30 minutes. Remember Lot's wife. In a crowd this size, I am sure, well, I'm banking that maybe someone has never come in on the offer of salvation. Not banking willingly wanting to, but the truth of the gospel can set people free. Here's my outline. The first point is, remember that she was Lot's wife. That's our first point. Secondly, she went some way towards salvation or towards being saved from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. She went quite a ways. Thirdly, she did actually perish through her own sin. And fourthly, listen carefully, her doom was terrible. And it was instantaneous. You know, we hear of lots of people that are dying of cancer. The prognosis isn't good. The doctor gives you 6 months. And so you have time, or those individuals have time to maybe think about life. Think about where they're going. Think about eternal matters. Lot's wife made one turn, and she was forever judged. She never made it. She never had another opportunity. It was over for her. Remember, if you leave this auditorium with nothing else, after my 4 points, I want you to have these three words. Remember Lot's wife. We're going to talk about her. We're going to make some assumptions because we don't know everything about her, but through the scriptures we can see certain things that would absolutely be true about her surroundings, about her circumstances, about her opportunity. Remember Lot's wife. So she was a wife of a man that knew God. Now we could get into the history of Lot, and we know, maybe some of you people that know your Bible know that Lot wasn't really the best Christian man he could have been. He made some very poor decisions. But the Bible records for us that he was a righteous man. And the point I want to draw from this is, by association, she had many privileges. And you here this morning, by association, not necessarily with this place, but maybe Camp Emmanuel, maybe through the course of your time here, you've been presented with truth in a loving way and presented truth about a Savior that loves you. A privileged position. She certainly had that. She was in a relationship, humanly speaking, the closest relationship you could have, a marriage. And you that are married know, even though maybe your situation may be similar, maybe your wife is not saved or your husband is not saved, but even in spite of that, there's a closeness there, isn't there? And so Lot's wife would have had that. She would have known of Abraham. She would have known, it doesn't say that Lot's wife was from, she could have been from a heathen country. It doesn't say where she came into the scene. But she would have heard about Abraham. She would have heard the stories about truth and things that are right, about Jehovah God. She was in a very privileged position. But in spite of all that, and we could generalize this morning, but we're not going to that because God doesn't generalize when it comes to His salvation. He doesn't blanket. You know, it says, we just sang, when we all get to heaven. Actually, I don't believe that to be true. We're not all going to get to heaven. It's only those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because even though Lot's wife was married to her, the scripture says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And in the Gospel of John, he continues on, he says, ye must be born again. You don't inherit. And that might be very simple truth, and you might have heard that. But maybe there's someone here just by association. You think you're okay. Maybe by just hanging out at camp, you might think you're okay. Maybe by volunteering at camp, you might just think you're okay. See, you don't receive it by association. You receive it from the God of heaven in repentance and faith. And God singled out the people, you know, in the chapter previous, Abraham pleads with him. He says, you know, if there's 50 righteous in Sodom, he says, please don't destroy it. If there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, if there's even 10 people, God, please don't destroy it. And God poured out his judgment. Lot, his wife, and the two daughters-in-law moved out. And God rained down fire and brimstone on that place. And as far as I understand, they can't even record where Sodom and Gomorrah was. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. It's a warning. It's a call of warning. We're going to get to the love of God because the gospel truth is a tremendous thing. But the Bible is full of warnings to be prepared to meet Him. Remember Lot's wife. What was her thoughts? We read the story. We can only maybe think of what Lot's wife's mindset was. But this is how I picture it. I could be wrong. I picture Lot's wife. She definitely knew about the separation from Abraham, didn't she? Because her and Lot had pitched her tent towards Sodom. She might have said, you know what? Living in tents isn't that glamorous. You know, there's a city out there, and we can see it, and it's modern, and we know that there's corruption there, but we're just going to live on the fringes. We're going to enjoy some of the things of Sodom, but we will not partake of the grotesque sins that we hear of. Maybe that was her mindset. Maybe she thought that her daughters should maybe be a little more worldly. And I've had someone say that to me one time in raising their children. She says, we just want them to be worldly. Of course, it was an unsaved person. I don't know what her mindset was, but at the end of the day, they pitched her tent towards that corrupt city, and eventually, as we read in our story, Lot was at the gate. He was an official of some sort in that place, and they lived in the city. I don't know exactly what she was thinking. But as we move into the second point, she went some way towards being saved. Those angels came in, and they said, we're going to destroy this place. So the next morning, I picture them gathering up maybe enough of the stuff that they could carry. They had a household. But it says also that the angels pressed upon them as Lot lingered. And I could picture the angel grabbing the hands of those people. They knew full well why they had come. They knew that that city would be destroyed. And there was grace and mercy for those people. Lot, his family, his two daughters. And I almost see them trying to drag them. And I kind of wonder about in our audience here this morning, maybe there's something that is pricking your conscience about your sin. Maybe there's something that bothers you. Maybe you have been playing Christian. Because you know what? It's safe to play Christian as far as man is concerned. It's kind of an easy lifestyle in North America for sure. To just go along. To be part of a Christian group. To do what the Christians do. Not maybe too radical. But if you have an anxious thought this morning about where you stand before a holy, righteous God, I want to tell you, it's not because of me. It's definitely not because of me. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He is in the world. He convinces men of sin, righteousness, and let's not forget, judgment. Remember Lot's wife, it's a warning. It's a warning signal. It's out there. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She perished. She didn't make it. She's not in heaven. Warning. He spoke to his disciples. He says, when the Son of Man comes, they'll be eating, they'll be drinking, and suddenly it'll be over. And I see Lot's wife coming out of that city. She made it out the gate. Whether she was kind of prodded along, whatever, she made it out. And he said, not only go out of the city gates, he says, but get out of the whole plain. So the whole area around that city was going to just burn. And she could almost see the gate. And are you that close to salvation that you can see that it's the truth? Are you that close that you can see that, you know what? I know it's the truth, but I got other things on my mind. I got other things that I want to do. I got retirement on my head, man. I got to think of school. I got to think of what I'm going to do next summer. It doesn't matter. It absolutely does not matter in light of eternity. Remember, Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She was close, but she never made it. That could be you this morning. Knowing everything there is to know, being raised under the sound of this gospel that we preach, and yet outside that city of refuge, outside of Christ, outside of hope. No hope. Mm-hmm. My third point. She did actually perish through her sin. That's what separated her. That was the dividing line. It was her sin. Sin separates us from God. I don't know what your sin is. I'm not talking about specifically the inheritance of the sin that you have. You have a sin nature, and that is absolutely true. But there's something holding you back. And ultimately, anyone that does not get saved will be guilty of the sin of rejection. What did Lot's wife do? There's three little things that I see that she did. First, she lingered in the back. Our passage says that she was kind of behind him, behind Lot. Maybe she started out with them. The angels may be abreast. Maybe I picture them running. I picture the angels running and grabbing their hands and say, God's timing is coming. It's a set time when judgment will be poured out on this city. And if we don't get out of there before that time, it's going to be over for all of us. What did she do? She lingered in the rear. She might have still been heading towards the gate of Zoar, but she was lingering. She was procrastinating. Secondly, I don't think she believed that judgment would fall. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you think it's just not really true. God is love. How could he ever pour judgment upon us? Like, I'm a pretty good person. I've done a fair amount of volunteer work. And I don't really believe that God will pour out his wrath on unrepentant sinners. Oh, that's a sad state. I can remember, before I was saved, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not saved, but wanting to be saved and struggling with how to get there. And I can remember coming into my home at my mom's, and the house was empty. And I knew all about the gospel. I knew that God was going to return and take his church. I knew all that. I knew all the truth. And there was no one home. And I'll tell you, it put fear right through my body, thinking that God had returned and I'm left behind. How about you? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? And if you are, what are you basing that assurance on? It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I'll tell you what, that's all I have. I rested. See, Lot's wife, I don't really think she believed that there was judgment coming. And thirdly, she even dared to look behind. She disobeyed. The gospel is a command. Repent. It's a command. I've called all men to repent. Have you obeyed the truth of the gospel? It's an act of obedience, submission, resting. That's what I see Lot's wife did. And it was over for her. You know, God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. I absolutely believe that. Because, you know why I believe that? Because it's 12:03, and the door of grace is still open. I don't know whether he'll come in 3 minutes, but he may. He may. And I'll be gone. And maybe you'll be gone. But what about the ones that know not the Savior? Where will they spend eternity? Remember Lot's wife. And I think as she turned, she was turned into a pillar of salt, the story tells us. And I think in a coming day, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ and He comes back, I think your sin of rejection will forever be before you. It'll be a permanent, you'll have a permanent gaze on it. I don't know that to be true 100%, but I do know this, the rich man was alive in hell. And he asked that he would be cooled under the torment. So there's a consciousness of where you are or where you will spend eternity. Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, of His own choice, way before you were ever born, said, "Here am I will go." Go where? Man had fallen, had disobeyed God, plunged us all into a state of sinnership. We were separated from God. He says, "I'm going to go, and I'm going to make a way possible so that men and women, boys and girls, could come back to me. But it has to be my way. I am the way," he said. "I am the truth. I am the life. Eternal life. You need eternal life." And so he went to a place. He came to planet Earth. You've heard the story. There's nothing new to you here this morning, but it's true. We're not opening this book and trying to... This isn't apologetics this morning. This is the truth. We're assuming that all these things in here are true. We're not assuming. We know them. Us that have trusted Jesus Christ, come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Those of us that have experienced salvation know that it's true because it's changed us. And He died on a cross. And God judged Him for our sin. We didn't deserve it, but He chose to do it because He loved us. That's the gospel. That's what it means, good news. It's good news. But if you've never come in to the good of that sacrifice, then here is my message to you this morning. Remember Lot's wife. He didn't just throw that in there because he's trying to fill a page. What do we need to remember about her? Just what the scriptures are very clear. And she turned. She turned her back on God. She never got to the city of refuge. She will never be there. Remember Lot's wife. That's my message to you this morning. It's not real deep. There's safety in Jesus Christ. When He died on that cross, He gave a way possible. And He says, "I want you to do this, people, planet Earth people. I want you to look unto Me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Me shall be saved." I'm sorry, I don't think I quoted that correctly. But there's safety in trusting Jesus Christ as a substitute. He bore judgment so that we could be set free. And in order to get in on the truth, I like the idea of faith as just resting. And I'll tell you why I like that, and I believe it's true, because when I got saved, I strove hard. I wanted to be saved. I wasn't sure how to get there. And I eventually did this. I just gave up. I gave up. I said, "God, if You can't save me, I'll perish." The lights come on for me. Christ had died for me. I just rested in the truth. That's what salvation is. It's resting in Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for your sins. And He promises eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? This message doesn't just work in the Maritimes, doesn't just work in Canada, doesn't just work in Brazil. It works nationwide, across the whole globe. Anyone that gets hold of this truth gets eternal life. It's open to all. But as our song, with good intention, not all will get there. Will you? I challenge you this morning. I'm going to say it one more time. Remember, Lot's wife. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the truth that is in there. We thank thee that there is grace and mercy available to anyone that repents of their sin and just believes in Jesus Christ as their substitute. Father, we know in a crowd this size, maybe there's someone, I don't know, you know the heart. Maybe they just have never done that. And so, Father, we leave that to thee through thy Spirit to work in that life. If we can help direct them in the right way, then we would definitely want to do that, but we can't save them. And Father, we leave that work to thee. We just pray for safety as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.